are live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is WBFR Playhouse of the Air.
WBFR in New York City.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young and old, old and new. Greetings from WBFR Studio A in Manhattan, New York, right here in the U.S. of A. I'm your host, Freddie Fillmore, and it's my pleasure to bring you your favorite stories this and every week on WBFR Playhouse of the Air. Tonight, we bring you a real feel-good heartwarmer. Perfect for this or any Christmas Eve, It's a Wonderful Life. We begin our story in the little town of Bedford Falls, New York, U.S. of A., where a number of people in the town are praying for their dear friend, a typical American dreamer named George Bailey.
Dear God, please look over my husband, George.
George's a good boy. You know that. My son has always gone out of his way to give others a hand. Now it's him who needs the help.
Help my big brother, George. He's done so much for all of us. More for me than I remember.
I remember all the times he would stay late after work and not ask a cent. The world needs more like George Bailey.
George Bailey never thinks about himself. I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it
wasn't for
him.
I would have given up long ago. All I think about is myself. I must have taken the last cent he had.
He had no sense of business, that George Bailey, just like his father. None of the Baileys were ever businessmen. It's his own fault if he wasn't prepared for
times
like
these. I can't help but think it's all my fault. Help him, Father, please. It's me who's putting him through all this.
Something's the matter with Daddy.
Should we pray for him, Mommy?
Yes, Suzu, pray. Pray very hard.
The voices carry heavenward, and Joseph, the superintendent of angels, summons Clarence, an apprentice angel.
You sent for me, sir.
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh dear, his life. Well, then I only have an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir. I was reading it when you sent for me.
Oh, fine book. That's excellent. Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and we will see to you about your wings.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, if you're going to help George, you'll want to know a little something about him. Look, see the town?
Why, yes. A group of young boys sledding down a snow-covered hill and onto the ice. This is amazing! Who's that?
That's your problem. George Bailey.
A boy?
That's him when he was 12 back in 1919. Something happens here you'll have to remember for later on.
Come on, guys, let's go!
And here comes the scare baby, my kid brother Harry Bailey.
I'm not scared.
Come on, Harry. Attaboy, Harry.
Yippee!
Oh dear, Harry's fallen to the ice.
I'm coming, Harry. Make a chain, everybody, a chain.
So his brother fell through the ice, but George saved him.
Yes, Clarence. And ever since, George has had a bad ear. All that icy water, you understand.
A bad ear. Yes, sir.
The other event came a few months later. George took an after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
It's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Hello, George. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelace, Violet?
Mary was here first.
I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Bye, Georgie. See you later, Mary.
Made up your mind yet, Mary?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here. From Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
What's that you've got there? A new magazine? I never saw it before.
Of course you've never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. Let me get you your ice cream.
Is this the ear you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you until the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. And I'm going to have a couple of harems. And maybe 3 or 4 wives. Wait and see.
George, George!
Yes, sir?
You're not paid to be a canary.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Mary.
What was that piece of paper George just picked up?
It's a telegram from Mr. Gower. He found out this morning that his son died of influenza.
Oh, awful.
Yes. And he spent the afternoon drowning his grief in whiskey.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
Oh, I'll get them, sir. What's this bottle, Mr. Gower?
Never mind that. Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's.
Yes, sir. They have diphtheria there, haven't they, sir? Is it a charge, sir?
Yes, it's a charge.
Mr. Gower, I think...
Get going.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gower?
What is it?
Mr. Gower, that bottle you used. You put something wrong in those capsules.
Who do you think you're talking to?
You're hurting my sore ear.
Didn't you hear what I said? Get out of here.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules. I know you're unhappy. You got that telegram and you're upset. It wasn't your fault. But look, Mr. Gower. Look. This bottle. You used this bottle to make up the capsules. It's poison.
Poison?
God, don't hit my sore ear again.
Poison. Oh, George.
All I wanted was to make sure, Mr. Gower. I won't tell anyone. I know what you're feeling, and I won't ever tell a soul. Hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George.
Did he ever tell anyone about those pills?
Not a soul.
Did he ever marry the girl? Did he ever go exploring?
We'll get there soon enough, Clarence. When George Bailey grew up, he wanted to go to college. But there just wasn't the money. So we worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
George's father was in the building and loan business, along with George's Uncle Billy.
George, what's the combination to the safe?
We wrote it down so you wouldn't forget it.
Ah, that's right. Where?
Your wallet, Uncle Billy.
Oh, thanks.
Who's that?
That's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in all the county.
Peter, Potter's here.
Mr. Peter Bailey. Mr. Billy Bailey. Mr. George Bailey. There's nothing quite so loathsome as a family business. Now, Peter, you know what I'm here for. I'm on a very tight schedule. A family to evict at 3.
Okay then, Mr. Potter. Here's the thing. I just need a little more time. Just 30 short days, I'll dig up that $5,000 somehow.
Have you put any real pressure on those people of yours to pay their mortgages?
You know, times are hard, Mr. Potter. A lot of people are out of work.
Then foreclose.
I can't do that. These families have children.
They're not my children.
But they're somebody's children, Mr. Potter.
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Well, all right.
Not with my money.
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-scold character? You have no family, no children. You can't begin to spend all that money you've got.
So I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend for me.
He's not a failure. You can't say that about my father.
George.
You're not. You're the biggest man in town.
All right, son. Thanks. I'll talk to you tonight.
And don't let him say that about you, Pop.
Tonight.
What kind of business are you running here?
George worked for his father, saving enough money to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. George got a call on a cattle boat and was ready to do a little traveling before college. Old man Gower surprised him with the gift of a great big suitcase. On his way home from the store, he ran into his friends Ernie the cab driver and Bert the cop.
Hey, Ernie!
Hiya, George!
Hi, Bert!
Hey, George, what's the suitcase for?
I'm a rich tourist today. How about driving me home in style?
Sure, Your Highness. Hop in the cab. And for the carriage trade, I puts on my hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey. Looks like you're ready to get out of here.
Hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
Oh, this old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. See you later.
How would you like...
Yes.
Want to come along, Bert? We'll show you the town.
No, thanks. I think I'll go home and see what the wife's doing.
Family man.
George saved up enough money to go away to college. His bags were packed and he was all set to go.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's hard to realize it's the last night in the Bailey boarding house.
We're sure gonna miss you, George.
I'm gonna miss you too, Pop. What's the matter? You look tired.
Oh, I had another tussle with old Henry Potter today.
Oh.
I thought when we put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up on us.
Well, I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway.
Oh, he's a sick man. Frustrated and sick. Sick in his mind, sick in his soul, if he has one. Hates everybody that has anything he can't have. Hates us mostly, I guess.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Yeah, help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they? In your suitcase?
I'm not taking a tuxedo in a cattle boat, you know.
Say, where'd you get that fine piece of luggage anyway?
Ah, Mr. Gower, a going-away present. And one of these days you're going to see that bag all covered with travel labels. Italy, Baghdad.
Hey, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
What, and be bored to death?
Well, you couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. Hey, I've got to hurry.
I wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
We have that all figured out. You see, Harry will take my job at the building alone, work there for 4 years, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Well, no younger than I was.
You were born older, George. I suppose you've decided what you're going to do when you get out of college.
Oh, well, you know, what I've always talked about. Building things, designing new buildings, and planning modern cities.
You still after that first million before you're 30?
No, I'll just settle half in cash.
Of course. It's just a hope, but you wouldn't consider coming back to the building alone, would you? I know it's early to talk about.
Oh, I could face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that remark, but this business of nickels and dimes and spending your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on a length of pipe, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big and something important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way, we are doing something important. Satisfying a fundamental urge. It's not too much for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace, and we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office.
I know, Dad. I wish I felt... But I've been hoarding pennies like a miser in order to... Most of my friends have already finished college. I just feel like if I don't get away, I'd bust.
Yes. Yes, you're right, boy. This town's no place to live if you aren't willing to crawl to Potter. You go get yourself an education. Then get out of here.
I'm glad you see what I'm talking about. Say, I think I'm going to go down on Old Main Street. Last night in town and all.
Have a good time, son.
Who's that?
Why, that's Violet Bick.
The little girl from the candy counter?
That's right.
Hello, Georgie Porgy.
Hello, Vi.
What gives?
Nothing.
Where are you going?
Oh, I'll probably end up at the library.
Ah, Georgie, don't you ever get tired of just reading about things?
Yes. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
Not a thing.
Are you game, Vi? Let's say we can make a night of it.
Oh, I'd love it, Georgie. What do?
Let's go out to the fields and take off our shoes and walk in the grass.
Huh?
Then we can go up to Stewart Lake. It's beautiful up there in the moonlight, and we can swim. And then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks. And we can stay out there the whole night and everybody will be talking and there will be a terrific scandal.
George, have you gone crazy? Walk in the grass in my bare feet? Why, it's 10 miles up there to Mount Bedford. You think just because you... Ugh!
Okay, just forget about the whole thing.
Forget about what, George?
Oh, nothing, Sam.
You remember Mary, don't you?
Hi, George.
Hi, Mary.
Say, you wouldn't mind walking Mary home, would you, George?
Of course not. If that's okay with you, Mary.
Fine by me.
Great. Thanks.
So, George walked Mary home. Is that important, Joseph?
I'd say it is. Because even though Mary lived only 4 blocks away, it took them 2 hours to get there.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
Hot dog! Oh boy, just like an organ. Gee whiz.
Beautiful.
You know something? If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will. How old are you anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
Oh no, it's just right. Your age fits you. Hey, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah. I gotta throw a rock.
Oh no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no. Don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then you throw a rock.
But George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live there if I were a ghost. Now watch this. Watch this. How about it, huh? Pretty good shot, huh? I broke a window, huh?
What's your wish, George?
Well, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I'm shaking the dust off this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to go see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum, and then I'm coming back here, and I'm going to go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories tall. And I'm going to build bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to... Hey, what? Are you going to throw a rock too? Hey, that's a pretty good shot. What'd you wish for, Mary?
Oh no, if I tell you, it may not come true.
Hey, Mary. Come on, what do you want, huh? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do is just say the word now.
Okay, the moon, I'll take it. And then what?
Then what? I'll throw a lasso around and pull it down. Then you can swallow it and it all dissolves, see? And the moonbeams will shoot out of your fingers and toes, and the ends of your hair, and the... Am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you just kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Who's that?
Old man Collins on his front porch.
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, hold on. Hey, mister, come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put the hair back on her head. Come out here,
George!
And...
George!
Uncle Billy?
George, get in the car quick. Your father had a stroke.
I'm sorry. I've got to go, Mary.
George's father died that night, Clarence. So of course George couldn't go to Europe. But that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor.
I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months, and it was greatly appreciated. Now, I think that's all we'll need you here for, George. Good luck to you at school. I know you're anxious to make a train.
Yes, I have a taxi waiting downstairs.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get to my real purpose. I claim that this institution is not necessary to this town. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve the building and loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
It's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. It was his faith and devotion that are responsible for this organization.
I'll go further than that. I'll say that to the public, Peter Bailey was the building and loan.
Well, that's fine, Potter. That's fine, coming from you. Considering that you probably drove him to his grave.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. That's what killed him. Oh, I don't mean any disrespect to him, God rest his soul. He was a man of high ideals, so-called. But ideals without common sense can ruin this town. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their heads with a lot of impossible Huey. Now I say...
Just a minute. Now hold on, Mr. Potter. You're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap, penny-ante building alone, I'll never know. But neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character. Because his whole life was... Why, in 25 years since he started this with Uncle Billy, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy?
You got that right.
But he did help a few people out of your slums, Mr. Potter. Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, I've said too much. You're the board here. You do what you want with this thing. Just one more thing, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. Come on, Uncle Billy.
Sentimental hogwash. I want my
Oh, they're just coming out of the boardroom. I'll have to call you back. So what happened, George? All we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, Matilda, you should have heard George.
Yeah, they're voting us down in there.
George, get out of here. You missed your boat trip. Do you really want to miss college, too? Don't worry about the board. They're putting us out of business. So what? I'll get another job. I'm only 55.
You're 58.
George! George! They voted Potter down. We're still in business.
Whoopee! We're still in business, Georgie! We're still in business!
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appoint me? But I'm going to college. Uncle Billy's your man.
You can keep him on, that's all right.
Now let's get this thing straight. I'm leaving. I'm leaving right now, and I'm going to college. This is my last chance.
But, George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise.
So, George Bailey didn't go to college?
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to his brother Harry, and Harry went instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl? You know, Mary.
Oh, George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. Anyway, George waited 4 years more for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. Then he could still see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields of Venezuela.
There she blows. Say, Uncle Billy, you know what the three most wonderful sounds on earth are?
Yeah. Breakfast is served, lunch is served, and dinner is
served. No. Anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. Why? Here's the professor now.
Well, if it isn't George Geographic Explorer Bailey. Uncle Billy, you haven't changed a bit.
Nah, nobody ever changes around here, you know that.
Oh, am I glad to see you.
Say, where's Mother?
Oh, she's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
Oh, wait. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Well, I wired you, I had a surprise. Here she is. Meet the wife.
Well, what do you know? Wife.
Well, how do you do? What am I doing? Congratulations. Harry, why didn't you tell somebody? What's a pretty girl like you doing marrying a two-headed brother of mine?
Well, I'll tell you. It's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
Oh, so he gets you and the job. Harry's cup runneth over. Come on, Ruth, let's start ahead and leave the bags for the fellas.
All right.
George, about that job, Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and, well, I won't let you down.
It's all right, Harry. It's all right.
And that night, the homecoming for Harry became his wedding party. Uncle Billy familiarized himself with the spirits.
Oh boy, I feel so good I could spit right in Potter's eye. And I think I will. What do you say? Maybe I should go home. Now, if you would just point me in the right direction.
Right down there.
That way, huh? Okay, old building and loading pal, I'll see you later. I'm all right.
George!
I'm all right.
George!
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I would get some air.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
She's swell.
Look like she'll keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, keep him out of Bedford Falls anyway.
George, do you know that Mary Hatch is back from school?
Yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Oh, stop grumbling. Give me one good reason you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, how do you know that? Have you two been talking?
Besides, Sam is away in New York, and you're here in Bedford Falls.
All's fair in love and war.
I don't know about war.
All right, Mother. I think I'll go out and find the girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Bye, Mrs. Bailey. Hey, by the way, do you want any books from the library?
The library? George, George, you go and see Mary, you hear?
Hello, George.
Hello, Mary. I just happened to be passing by.
Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way over to pay me a visit.
My mother just called you? Well, how does she know that?
Well, she...
Well, I didn't tell anybody. I just went for a walk and happened to be passing by. What do you... Went for a walk, that's all. When did you get back?
Tuesday. Would you like to come in?
Well, I guess, since I'm here. Say, where'd you get that dress?
Oh, do you like it?
It's all right. I thought you'd go back to New York with Sam and Francie and the rest of them.
Oh, I worked there a couple of vacations, but I don't know. I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Yes, and my family, and everything. Would you like to sit down?
All right. For a minute. I still can't understand it, though. You know, I didn't tell anybody I was coming here.
Would you rather leave?
No, I don't want to be rude.
It was nice about Harry and Ruth, wasn't it?
Oh, Yeah, that's all right.
Don't you like her?
Oh, well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about, huh?
No, marriage is okay for Harry and Sam Wainwright, and you.
Mary? Mary, who's out there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? Not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
Oh, you tell him to go right back home. And don't you leave the house. Sam Wainwright promised to call from New York tonight, didn't he?
Your mother needn't to... You know, I didn't come here for to...
What did you come here for?
I don't know. You tell me. You're supposed to be the one with all the answers. You tell me.
Why don't you just go home?
That's where I was going. I don't know why I came in here in the first place.
Mary, the telephone. It's Sam.
I'll get it. Well, hee-haw, hello, Sam. How are ya?
Aw, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
Aw, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam. There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
You mean the old Mossback George?
Yes, old Mossback George.
Put him on!
Wait a minute, I'll call him. George!
He doesn't want to speak to George, you idiot!
He does so, he asked for him. George, Sam wants to speak to you.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, a fine pal you are. What are you trying to do? Steal my girl?
What do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal your girl. I just...
Now, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension.
I am not.
We can both hear you. George, just put your head a little closer.
Okay.
There, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, remember that night at Martini's bar when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Huh? Yeah, soybeans, yeah.
Well, my father's checked into it, and see, George, he's gonna build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Rochester? Well, why Rochester?
Well, why not? Can you think of anything better?
Oh, I don't know. Why not right here in Bedford Falls? You remember that old tool and machinery works? You tell your father he can get that for his song. And all the labor he wants, too. Half the town was thrown out of work when they closed down.
That's so. Well, that sounds great. Oh, baby, I knew you'd come through. But now, here's the point, George. I may have a job for you. Unless you're still married to the old broken-down building and loan. Mary?
I'm here.
Tell that guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime, you hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Give me that phone. Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job. I don't want to get married, ever, to anyone. You understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to. Oh, Mary.
George.
Oh, Mary. I love you.
George, I love you, too.
Well,
We will return to WBFR Playhouse of the Air's presentation of It's a Wonderful Life in just a few moments. But first, gentlemen, does your hair resemble a dried-out bird's nest full of dandruff flakes? Do you plaster your hair down like a cheap gigolo, smelling to high heaven?
P.U., what a stink!
When girls get a gander at the tip-top of your noggin, do they go...
Ew!
Well, here's a friendly hint that may just help you out in the romance department. Starting tomorrow, why not try Bremel Hair Tonic? Yes sirree, you'll be headed for success with Bremel groomed hair. A success with the gals and on the job. Bremel always keeps hair looking mighty attractive. Always in place. A real sex appealer. Bremel Hair Tonic does lots more than keep your hair handsome looking.
Bremel the Swank Hair Tonic makes your filthy bird's nest gleam. A little dab will do ya. All the pretty gals will scream. Not only will dames love it, your barber will shout out with glee. Bremel the Swank Hair Tonic, your dandruff will be history.
Buy some Bremel today. Your hair will thank you. And now, back to It's a Wonderful Life.
George and Mary were married. And following the wedding and reception, George's old pal Ernie, the cab driver, drove the happy couple to the train station.
Hey, where you two going on this here now honeymoon?
We're going to shoot the works, Ernie. A whole week in New York. A whole week in Bermuda. The highest hotels, the oldest champagne, the richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
And here's the kitty, Ernie. $2,000. I feel like a bootlegger's wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls. And then what?
Then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
That doesn't. Hey, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you since...
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look over there at the bank. It looks like a run.
Huh? Pull over there a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop, please. Let's go straight to the station.
Now, wait a minute. I better see what this is. I'll be right back.
George, please. George! Are you
kidding? What is this, Uncle Billy? A holiday? Why are the doors locked? There's a crowd out front.
Oh, this is a pickle, George.
All right, now what happened?
All I know is the bank called our loan. I had to hand out all our cash.
All of it?
Every last cent of it.
Holy mackerel.
And then I got scared, George. I had to close the doors.
Our charter says we need to stay open until 6 o'clock or we lose our license.
Bailey Brothers Building and Loan.
It's me, George.
George, it's Potter.
Hello?
George, there's a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true?
No, it isn't.
Do you need any police? Mobs get pretty ugly sometimes, you know.
We're fine.
We'll see. Now, George, I'm going all out to help in this crisis. I've just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They'll close for a week and then reopen. I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Oh, you don't miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're going to miss this one.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen.
He just took over the bank, Billy. Open the doors. Let them in. Now, just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears. I have some news for you folks. I've talked to old man Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments at the bank.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Now, please, please. Wait a minute. Listen to me. You're thinking of this place all wrong. The money's not here. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you. Your money's in people's houses. In the Kennedy house, and the McLaren house, and in your house, and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
All right, Charlie, all right. Now, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, that's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar. 50 cents.
Now, wait a minute. Please, folks, please don't leave. I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll be owning the building and loan. He's got the bus line, he's got the bank, and he's got the department stores. And now he's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I got doctor bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids with faith.
Yeah. How much do you need? We've still got some money. We've got $2,000 from the wedding.
Hey, Mary! I got $2,000 here. This will tide us over until the bank reopens. All right, Charlie, how much do you need?
$242.
Oh, Charlie, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
Sure you will, Charlie. Okay. Sure you will.
Uncle Billy, give Charlie $242. Okay, all right, Ed. Now, how much do you need just to get by?
$20, I suppose.
Now we're talking. Now, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
But it's your own money, George.
Never mind that. How much do you need, Mrs. Thompson?
Could I have $17.50?
Oh, bless your heart. Of course you can have it. Uncle Billy, give her $17.50. Pay it back when you can now. Pay it back. All right. All right. Who's next?
Look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 6 o'clock,
we made it!
Oh, woo! Lock that door, Uncle Billy! Boy, we're still in business and we got $2 left.
Bailey Brothers building in... Oh, well, just a minute. George, there's a call for you.
Look, we got my wife on the phone. She's probably over at her mother's.
But Mrs. Bailey is on the phone.
I don't want to talk to Mrs. Bailey. I want to talk to my wife. Mrs. Bailey... Oh, that's my wife. Mary? Hello, listen, dear. I'm sorry. What? Come home? What home? 320 Sycamore? Well, that... Whose home is that? The Waldorf Hotel, huh?
Well, that doesn't look like the Waldorf.
Oh, no. Number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house. The one George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes. Mary had prepared the house, including a turkey dinner, romantic decorations, and even a marriage bed.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Well, I'll be.
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wished for.
Darling, you're wonderful.
Yes, sir. That's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started their lives together. Mary made that leaky house a home. While George toiled away at the building and loan office, providing houses for people like Giuseppe Martini.
Hey, Martini, you renting a new house? A rent? Ha! You hear that, Mr. Bailey? I own this house. Me, Giuseppe Martini, I own my own house. No more we living like pigs in a potter's field.
We have something for you and your family, Mr. Martini. George and I bring something for all the new owners.
For the Martinis? Maria, come quick. Our first housewarming gifts. Bring the kids.
Bread. So that this house may never know hunger. Salt, so that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini Castle.
Bailey houses were popping up all over the place, mostly owned by the people that used to live in Pottersfield. And Potter had had just about enough of that. So after a couple of years, old man Potter decided to call our George into his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down. Have a cigar.
Thank you, sir. Quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
You like it. I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about?
George, now that's just what I like so much about you. George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey Building and Loan. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it, or kill it. But I haven't been able to do it. You have been stopping me. In fact, you have beaten me, George, and that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
45.
45.
Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I would say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born. A young man, the smartest one of the crowd, mind you, who has to sit by and watch his friends go places because he's trapped into frittering his life away. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is, you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? You're not talking to somebody else here, are you? Are you sure you're talking to me? It's George Bailey. Remember me, the building alone, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has brains enough to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building alone?
Oh, confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it?
Sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah, I'd like that.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and soon you'll be managing my affairs.
Your affair? No. The answer's no, doggone it. You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. And the whole vast configuration of things I see were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
What did Mr. Potter want, George?
Nothing. Just talk, nothing. Oh, gee, Mary Hatch, why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I was going to give you the moon. What have I given you? Not even a new dress, not for months. You could have married Sam Wainwright or anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
You didn't even get him honeymoon. I promised you. Your what?
My baby.
You mean Mary, you're on the nest?
George Bailey lassos stork.
Well, Mary had her baby, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't looking good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down hard. And then came the war. Mary had another baby by then, but still had time to run the USO. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Violet entertained the troops. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa, got the Silver Star. Ernie the tax driver parachuted into France. And Harry. Harry Bailey topped them all. A Navy flyer, he shot down 15 planes. 2 of them as they were about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
Yes, but George, what about George?
George, 4F on account of his ear. George fought the battle of Bedford Falls. Air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. On VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to the day, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you have to know about George Bailey. Except what happened that finds him down there at this very moment wanting to die.
Well, sir, well?
Well, today's the day before Christmas. And Billy is at the bank to make a deposit when he ran into Old Man Potter.
Well, Mr. Henry F. Potter. Come to the bank to deposit more loot, have you?
Sure, you old fool.
How do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal of Honor. Now you just can't seem to keep those Bailey boys down.
Let me see that newspaper.
Oh, here you go. I'm sorry, I can't chat, you old thief. I gotta make a deposit.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Helen. Here are your deposit slip, your bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
What's that?
You want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money?
A terrible thing, Claire. It's terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in the newspaper he gave to Old Man Potter. At the same time as Billy started looking for the deposit, Violet came to visit George at the building and loan.
Oh, hello, Vi.
Suppose you're getting things set back at the house for the party tonight.
You know you're invited. What's wrong?
You see right through me, don't you?
How much do you need?
I hate doing this to you, George, but I won't be asking for any more after this.
You plan on robbing a bank, Vi?
I'm going to Manhattan.
What's in Manhattan?
Why, everything's in Manhattan. A new start, at least.
That's a big step, Vi. What's the matter with starting a new life right here in Bedford Falls?
Well, I'll be. Never thought I'd hear that from you, George Bailey. I thought you hated this place.
I did. But this town has a charm of its own.
You should give tours, maybe.
I'm just thinking of you, Violet. Manhattan's a big place to take on your own.
I've made a decision. There's a midnight train tonight, and I plan to be on it.
It takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again. Here. Here's some dough.
No, George, don't.
What do you want to do? Hawk your furs and that hat? Want to walk to New York? You know, they charge for meals and rent the same as they do here in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
It's a loan. That's my business, building a loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Say hello to New York for me.
Merry Christmas, George.
George! George!
Uncle, what's going on? The bank examiner's coming today and
today?
Yeah. He wants the accounts payable. What's the matter with you?
The money, the 8,000.
What, Uncle Billy? What happened to it?
I don't know. I was gonna deposit it, and when I went to the bank, I didn't have it.
$8,000, Uncle Billy! The bank examiner's in town, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
I'm so sorry, George. I just don't know what happened.
Well, the first place you look is your coat pocket. I told you to put it there when we left.
Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Let's go, then. We have to retrace your steps. We'll leave no stone unturned. And did you put the envelope in your pocket?
Yeah, maybe.
Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money.
I'm no good to you, George. I'm just no good.
Do you have any secret hiding places in the house?
I've gone over the whole house, even in the rooms that have been locked ever since I lost your Aunt Laura.
Listen to me, think.
I can't think anymore, George. It hurts.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal. And prison. One of us is going to jail. And, well, it's not going to be me.
Hello, darling.
Hello,
Daddy.
Daddy, did you bring home the wreath?
What wreath?
The Merry Christmas wreath for the window.
I left it at the office.
Is it snowing?
Yeah, it just started.
Where's your coat and hat?
I left them at the office.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. Everything is all right.
Isn't it wonderful about Harry? We're famous, George. I'll bet I had 50 calls today about the parade. The banquet? Your mother's so excited, she...
Must she keep playing that?
I have to practice for the party tonight, Daddy.
Mommy says we can stay up until midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Can you sing, Nai?
You better hurry up and shave, George. The families will be here soon.
Families? I don't want the families over here.
Excuse me, excuse me.
Have a hectic day.
Oh yeah, another big red letter day for the Baileys.
Daddy, the Browns next door have a new car. You should see it.
Well, what's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy.
Excuse me, excuse me.
Excuse you for what?
I burped.
All right, darling, you're excused. Now go upstairs and see what little Zuzu wants.
What's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she got a cold. Caught it coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it, a sore throat?
The doctor says it's nothing serious.
Was the doctor here?
I called him right away.
Is she running a temperature?
Just a teensy one.
Gosh, it's this old house. I don't know why we all don't have pneumonia. This drafty old barn, it might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why did we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Wrong? Everything is wrong. You call this a happy family? Why did we have to have all these kids?
Dad, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know. Ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Up to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
Where do you think you're going?
I want to give my flower a drink.
Here, give Daddy the flower. I'll give it a drink.
Look, Daddy, some of the petals came off. Paste it.
All right, yeah, all right. Now, I'll paste this together. There it is, good as new.
Give the flower a drink.
Now, will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
I know, but if you go to sleep, and then you can dream about it, and it'll be a whole garden.
It will?
Uh-huh.
Telephone!
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. The doctor says she'll be out of bed in time for her Christmas dinner.
Is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Let me speak to her. Hello, Mrs. Welch? This is George Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sitting her home like that, half naked?
George!
Is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for? To have teachers like you? Silly, stupid, careless people who send our kids home without any clothes on? Oh, that's stupid.
Hello, Mrs. Welch. I want to apologize. Hello? Hello? She hung up.
I'll hang her up.
Now, who do you think you are?
Wait a minute. Hello? Who is this?
This is Mr. Welch.
Oh, Mr. Welch.
I'm very upset with what you said about my wife.
Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welch. Give me a chance to tell you what I really think about your wife.
George!
Will you get out and let me handle this?
You name the day, pal. Anytime.
Hello? Oh, you will, huh?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Welch. Anytime you think you're man enough. Hello?
Daddy, how do you spell hallelujah?
What do you think I am, a dictionary? Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You play it over and over again. Now stop it. Just stop it.
George, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. I didn't... You go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology, too. I'm sorry. What did you want to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
What's the matter with everybody? Janie, go on. I told you to practice, and I'll go on and play.
Oh, Daddy. George, why must you torture the children? Why don't you...
Mary!
Where's Daddy going? Bedford 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie, pray very hard.
Me too?
You too, Tommy. Hello, Uncle Billy.
So that's it, George? You're short $8,000 in the books, eh?
Oh, please, Mr. Potter, I'll pay any sort of interest. If you still want the building and loan...
You say it was lost. Did you notify the police?
No, sir. I haven't done that yet. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
Why did you come to me? What about your good friend, Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
I have some life insurance. A $15,000 policy.
How much is your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000. Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man, crawling in here on your hands and knees for help? No securities, no stocks, no bonds. You're worth more dead than you are alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them for help?
I'll do anything, Mr. Potter. Please help me, my wife and my kids.
You know what I'm going to do for you. As a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm calling the state examiner to get a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds. Manipulation.
Mr. Potter, please, you can't. I can't go to... They can't arrest me.
Go on and run. You can't hide in a little town like this. Merry Christmas, George.
And now, more from our sponsors. Are you guilty of careless driving because windshield bug spots dulled your vision?
Yes, I'm guilty.
Stop straining to see through a bug-spattered windshield. Du Toilette Cake gets the squashed bugs off quickly, easily, yes, even when the sun has baked them in the glass.
Remember, you need clear vision as well as good brakes to avoid accidents. You'll find Du Toilette Cake leaves the glass polished so crystal clear you hardly know it's there.
I feel so much safer after I clean my windshield with Du Toilette Cake. It leaves no dangerous, oily film to pick up dust and make night driving difficult.
Du Toilette Cake, the soap of 100 uses.
Oh, you better wash high, you better wash low. Behind your ears too, I'm telling you so. Du Toilette Cake is cleaning up town. It washes up cars, it washes up bars, and out in L.A. it washes up stars. Du Toilette Cake is cleaning up town. It's found in every bathroom, from sea to shining sea. It's used by our dear president, and it's used by you and me. Oh, you better wash high, you better wash low. Behind your ears too, I'm telling you so. Du Toilette Cake is cleaning up town.
Buy a cake of Du Toilette soap today. Keep it in your car. And now the dramatic conclusion of It's a Wonderful Life.
Merry Christmas, glad you came.
How about some of that good spaghetti?
We got everything.
Where's George, sir? Where?
After running out of Potter's office, George ended up at Martini's bar. He's had a couple drinks, Clarence. He's just sitting there.
What's he saying? Who is he?
Shh.
God?
There you go, there's two.
God.
There you go. Red and white, white boy.
Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God.
Are you all right, George? You want somebody to take you home?
Why are you drink so much, my friend? You don't feel good? Please go home, Mr. Bailey.
Bailey? You say Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman here is Mr. Bailey. Mr. George Bailey.
Oh, George Bailey, huh? And the next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. It isn't enough she slaves teaching your stupid kids how to read and write. But now you gotta ball her out, too.
You get out of here, Mr. Welch. You are hitting my best friend. You will get out.
All right, all right.
Mr. Bailey, are you okay?
Who was that?
Mr. Welch. But don't worry, he don't come in this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's a bleeding.
I'm all right.
Please don't go away, Mr. Bailey. Please don't.
Just leave me alone. Leave me alone.
George is heading to the bridge now, Clarence. Can you see him?
He looks like he's going to jump.
It's time, Clarence.
Excuse me. You there? Have you got the time? My watch is dead. Thanks. Just the same. Help me! Help me! Help me! I can't swim! Help!
Hold him, mister! I'm coming!
What in Sam Hill are the two of you doing? This storm's not fit for man or beast. Now get out of that water! Oh. Oh. Are the two of you all right? Do you need a doctor?
No, I'm all right.
No, I'm fine. This underwear. I didn't have time to get anything stylish. My wife gave this to me on my last birthday, and I passed away in it.
What? Passed away?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer's drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me. You should read the new book that Mark Twain is working on.
How'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
You jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Nah, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Well, where do you come from?
Heaven.
What?
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you would try to save me. And you see, you did, and that's how I saved you.
Oh, that's very funny.
Your lips bleeding, George.
Yeah, I got a bust in a jaw and an answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George, I'm the answer to your prayer.
How'd you happen to know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
Oh, no.
Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2? What's that AS2?
Angel Second Class.
Hey, dude, I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why'd you want to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for $8,000.
Yeah. Just things like that. How'd you know that?
I told you. I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look like about the kind of angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel. What happened to your wings?
I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Oh, I see.
But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you?
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. It comes in pretty handy down here, bub. I found it out a little too late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't say things like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends.
This isn't going to be easy.
They'd all be better off if I hadn't been born.
What did you say?
I said I'd wish I'd never been born.
What? George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful?
The idea you just gave me. Well, you got your wish. You've never been born.
Never been born?
Exactly. No worries. No $8,000 to get. Nothing. You simply don't exist.
Hey, wait a minute. This ear of mine. Ooh, say something else in this ear.
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Don't you see? You're not the George Bailey you think you are. You're a nobody.
Well, that's the doggonest thing.
Your lips stopped bleeding too, George.
What do you know about that? What happened? I need a drink. That's what I need. What about you, Angel? Do you want a drink?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Just, we'll go as soon as our clothes are dry.
Our clothes are dry.
Hey, so they are. That's funny. That stove's hotter than I thought. Well, look, let's get dressed and we'll stroll over to Martini's and then... Oh, excuse me. I'll stroll, you fly.
I haven't got my wings.
You haven't gotten your wings. Yeah, that's right. A couple of drinks, and we'll both fly.
Hey, I got two more over here.
There's a place to sit down. Sit down. Oh, hello, Nick. Clarence, welcome to the best bar in Bedford Falls.
Bedford Falls? Don't you mean Pottersville?
Pottersville? Hey, where's Martini?
Look, I'm the boss. You want a drink or don't you?
Okay, all right. Double bourbon. Quick, huh?
Okay. What's yours, bub?
I was just thinking of mulled wine.
Huh?
Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, my lad, and be lively now.
Hey, look, mister, we serve hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast. And we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere.
Now, come on. Just give him the same as I ordered. He's all right.
Two double bourbon.
What about this place? It's all changed.
All of Bedford Falls has changed. You're having your wish, George. You've never been born. Oh, there'll be lots of things you've never seen before. Oh, good. Somebody's just made it.
Made what?
Well, every time you hear a bell ring, it means that some angel just got their wings.
What did you say?
Look, Clarence, I don't think you better talk about angels around here.
Well, don't they believe in angels?
Yeah, they believe in them, but, you know, it's just...
Well, then why should people be surprised when they see one?
Huh?
Don't mind him, Nick. He just never grew up. How old are you anyway, Clarence?
293, next May.
That does it. Out, you two pixies. Go through the door, through the window. Go on, get!
Where's Martini? Will you tell him?
Stop asking about Martini. He ain't here. Well, well, well. Look who crawled out from whatever hole he's been hiding in.
Hey, it's Mr. Gower.
Hey, you. Rummy. Didn't I tell you to never come panhandling around here?
George, look.
Mr. Gower, it's George Bailey. Don't you know me?
Will you buy me a drink, mister? Just one drink, mister.
Binky, throw this rummy out.
You got it.
Oh, no. No, please.
Hey, Nick, isn't that Mr. Gower, the druggist?
That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning some kid. If you know him, you must be a jailbird yourself. Binky, here's two more. Get him out of here.
You got it, boss.
Here, let me help you up. The snow is quite cold.
What's wrong with Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, George, you weren't there to stop Mr. Gower from putting that poison into the prescription.
What do you mean I wasn't there? What are you, a hypnotist? Why am I seeing all these strange things here?
Don't you understand? It's because you were never born.
Then if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're a nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean, no identity? My name is George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Zuz's petals.
What?
Zuz's petals. My little girl. Some petals fell off of her flower, and I told her I'd fix it, and I stuck them in my pocket. But they're gone, too. Everything is gone.
But you've been given a great gift, George. The chance to see what the world would be like if you had never been born.
You're crazy. You're crazy as a bedbug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now look, I'm going home to my wife and family. Do you understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Alright, you know the drill. Hands behind your back, sister.
Hey, keep your hands off of me. Why don't you go bust somebody else for a change?
Hey, officer. Where did the building and loan move to?
The building and what?
The Bailey building and loan. It was up there.
They went out years ago. Yeah, all that's left is this burlesque house.
Not so fast, Copper. I know Potter.
Hey, Violet! Hey, listen, that's Violet Bick.
I know. Believe me, I know.
I know that girl.
Who doesn't? Now get out of my way.
Taxi! Hey, Ernie! Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Yeah, where do you live?
Oh, doggone it, Ernie. Don't start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore. Now hurry up.
Okay, 320 Sycamore?
Yeah. Hurry up. Zeus is sick.
All right.
Look here, Ernie. Straighten me out here. I've got some bad liquor or something. Listen to me. Now, you are Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid. That's right, isn't it?
You seen my wife?
Seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times.
Look, bud, what's the idea? I live in a shack in Pottersfield, and my wife ran away 3 years ago and took the kid. And I ain't never seen you before in my life.
Okay, just step on it. Just get me home.
Is this the place?
Of course it's the place.
Well, this house ain't been lived in for 20 years.
Mary! Mary, I'm home! Pete! Tommy! Janie! Zuzu, where are you?
They're not here, George. You have no children.
Where are they, Clarence? What have you done with them?
All right, put up your hands.
What is this?
No fast moves. Come on out here, both of you.
Bert! Thank heaven you're here, Bert! What happened to this house? Where's Mary? Where's my kids?
Watch him, Bert.
Come on. I'm going to take you down to the station.
Bert, now listen to me. It's that fella there. He says he's an angel and he's trying to hypnotize me.
Don't make me use my nightstick.
Bert, I hate to do this, but...
Run, George! Run!
Ma Bailey's boarding house. Mother?
Mother, what do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Oh, Mother. Mother, please try to understand. Something has happened to me. I don't know what it is, but I need a place to stay. Please let me stay.
I don't take in strangers.
I'm not a stranger. I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When did you last see him?
Today, over at his house.
That's a lie. He's been in the sane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
I'm here again, George.
My mother. My old mother didn't even know me.
Strange, isn't it? One man's life touches so many others, and when he isn't around, he leaves a pretty big hole, doesn't he?
Look, you, I've heard of things like this before. You've got me under some kind of spell. Well, I'm going to get out of it. I've got to. I know I talked to Billy this afternoon, and how could it be in an asylum? I've got to snap out of this. Now, let me think. Bailey Park!
There is no Bailey Park if you weren't here to build it!
We'll see.
This is Bailey Park? People live here? Pretty grim.
This is where Bailey Park is supposed to be. What's this gravestone doing here? And why's the name Bailey on it?
That wouldn't be yours.
My father's name is on it. But what's this other name? Why is my brother Harry's name here?
Your brother broke through the ice and drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie! Harry Bailey went off to war. He got a Congressional Medal of Honor. And he saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it all away?
What do I do now, Clarence? What do I do?
It's your life, George.
What happened to Mary, Clarence? My wife, Mary. What happened to her if I was never born?
I'm not supposed to tell you, George.
I don't know how you know the things you do. But please, if you know where she is, just let me see her. That's all I need to make a decision.
Very well, George. But you're not going to like it.
Where is she, Clarence?
She's an old maid, George.
Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library.
Is the library closed?
It's Christmas Eve. We can't stay open all night.
Can I ask you something?
I should really be getting home.
What is there to go home to?
That's none of your business, sir. The library's closed. Maybe you should try back the 26th.
Mary, I'm sorry.
How do you know my name?
All I need is a couple of minutes.
I told you the library is closed.
Please, just 2 minutes. That's all I need. I'll do anything.
You sound desperate. I'll help if I can. What is it?
Isn't this town Bedford Falls?
It used to be, but that was some time ago. I wasn't very old when Potter was elected and took the town along with its name for himself.
So you do know a place called Bedford Falls?
I've seen pictures. It looked like a very nice place. Things have changed, but that's with the times. I have to go.
Mary Hatch, you live on Reed Street, a white Victorian. Your bedroom is at the top of the stairs. You turn to the left. You have an older brother named Marty, and you live with your mother, Edwina.
How do you know all this? What are you, some crazy man? Stop it, I'm leaving.
Don't you know me, Mary? Just let me touch you.
Get your hands off me. I'll call a cop.
The house you wished for. Don't you remember?
I told you I don't know you. Let me go. Officer!
Don't you know me? You must, Mary. It's George. Don't you know me?
Let me go.
Mary, please. Oh, don't do this to me. Please, Mary. Help me. Where are our kids?
What?
I need you, Mary. Help me, Mary.
Get away from me. Help. Help, police.
Mary, it's George. Please, Mary, you're my wife. Clarence, where are you? Help me, Clarence. Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Clarence, please. Please, I want to live again.
I want to live again, please. Oh God, please let me live again.
George? Is that you, George?
Now get out of here, Bert. Get out of here. You come any closer and I'll hit you again.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
Come on! George? George! Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you. Where have you been?
Hey, Bert! Bert, I'm alive again, Bert!
You sure you're all right? Hey, your mouth's bleeding.
It is? Hey, my mouth's bleeding! Bert, look at this blood come out of there! What you... Zuz's petals! Zuz's petals! There they are! Well, what do you know about that? Merry Christmas, Bert!
Well, Merry Christmas. Get in the car. I'll drive you home.
Oh, you will? Bert, well, do that and then turn the sirens wide open. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Hey, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. Woo! Mary, I'm home. Have you seen my wife? Hey, what is this? These people, these reporters. Hey, Merry Christmas, reporters.
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know. $8,000, I bet, huh?
George, I've got a little paper here.
I bet it's the warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? Merry Christmas. Hey, where's Mary, you know? Look at this wonderful old drafty house. Isn't it wonderful? Where's Mary?
Daddy, hi, Daddy. Merry Christmas.
Kids, Pete, Janie, Tommy, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
She went looking for you with Uncle Billy.
Daddy.
Zuzu! Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Fine, Daddy. Not a smitch of temperature.
Not a smitch. Hallelujah!
George, darling!
It's Mommy. Mommy's home.
Mary!
George, where have you been? Oh, George, George, George!
Mary, let me touch you! Oh, you're real!
Oh, George, George!
You have no idea what happened to me.
You have no idea what's happened either. Come on, George, quick. They're on their way.
Who? Who's on their way? The police department? The FBI? The National Guard? Oh, I'm alive again, Mary. I'm alive again.
Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right here. And don't move. Don't move. I hear them now, George. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody, in here.
Isn't it wonderful? Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told a few people that you were in trouble, and they scattered all over town collecting money. They didn't ask any questions. They just said, if George Bailey is in trouble, you can count on me. You never saw anything like it.
What is this, George? Another run on the bank? Here you are. Merry Christmas.
The line forms to the right. Put your donations in this here box. That's right. Mr. Gower, Merry Christmas. Mr. Martini, step right up now.
Here you go. For you, George, and I have busted the jukebox too.
Mr. Gower!
I made the rounds on my charge accounts.
Violet Bick!
I'm not gonna go, George. I changed my mind.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George. Here you go. $242.
I've been saving this money for a divorce. If I ever get a husband.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Just a minute. Quiet, everybody. Quiet, quiet. A telegram from London.
Ooh, London.
Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas. Sam Wainwright.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Hello, George, how are you?
Harry! Harry!
Mary, looks like I got here too late.
Mary, I got him here from the airport as quickly as I could. The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Harry, how about your banquet in Washington?
Oh, I left right in the middle of it as soon as I got Mary's telegram.
How about some wine?
Good idea. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
What's this book, George?
Tom Sawyer.
Look, there's an inscription.
George,
Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
What's that?
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's right. That's right. Atta boy, Clarence.
Auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
This has been WBFR Playhouse of the Air's presentation of It's a Wonderful Life. The WBFR Playhouse is brought to you this and every week by Bremel Hair Tonic and Du Toilette Cake. Please stay tuned for a program of popular holiday music. This is Freddie Fillmore signing off for WBFR in New York City and wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Good night.
For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for all.